From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Back in the 90s, the Florida panther population was down to somewhere around 25 big cats, and inbreeding was becoming a serious problem. So in an effort to increase genetic diversity, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission introduced 8 pumas from Texas, which belong to the same species as the Florida panther. Now, new research from the University of Florida has found that the experiment was a success. While their population is still relatively small, biologists now estimate there are somewhere between 120 and 230 panthers remaining in the wild, and their genetic diversity has expanded. Joining me now to talk about the UF study and what it found is Dr. Madan Oley. He's a professor of wildlife ecology and conservation at the University of Florida. Dr. Oley, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be with you.
This conversation is pre-taped, so we are not taking calls, but if you'd like to engage with us and your fellow listeners about this topic, you can do so on social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So for starters, can you give us a sense of about how many Florida panthers biologists think are left here in the wild in Florida?
So the current estimate is that there are somewhere between 120 to 230 Florida panthers in the wild.
And they're mostly located in Southwest Florida or Southwest Florida and a bit south of us, right?
That is absolutely correct, yes.
Do you know how many? I know there are some being tracked via radio collar. Is that just a few or is that a lot of them? Do you have a sense of that?
Yes, I do actually. I know for the fact that there are 7 Florida panthers being radio tracked by Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission biologists, and one more being tracked by Big Cypress biologist.
Okay. For some reason, I thought there were more than that being tracked, but I guess that, you know, that's why we ask people who know. So let's go back to the mid-90s when this whole story got started. The pumas were introduced from Texas. How many panthers were estimated to be left here in Florida at that time?
At that time, the estimates were that there were only 20 to 30 panthers remaining in the wild at that time.
And so can you break down for us the differences, if there are any, between Florida panthers and pumas from Texas and other big cats found in the U.S.? Because I think they're not as far apart as most people probably suspect.
You are absolutely correct. So Florida panthers and Texas cougars are very similar. In fact, if you saw them side by side, you could not tell the difference. They are so similar. And it makes sense because historically, Florida panthers occurred throughout Southeast. And the Florida panther population was connected to the Texas cougar population, so they interbred naturally. So they're genetically very, very similar, and they would be very hard to tell apart.
So then let me ask a follow-up question. So you're saying Texas cougar versus Texas puma, are those both the same things, just different names?
They're basically the same thing, yes.
And so at some point in time, those two populations were sort of the same population, just some of them lived over there in Texas and some of them lived here in Florida and the places in between the two for the most part.
That is absolutely correct, yes.
Gotcha. So how did this idea for the pumas to be introduced come about? Do you know what the origin of that initial project was?
Yes. So I was not directly involved, but I know how things progressed at that time. So to start with, there were very few panthers left in the wild, only about 20 to 30 individuals. And a lot of those animals had, you know, very concerning health issues like heart defects, fertility issues, increased susceptibility to diseases, and things like that. So a lot of those symptoms were thought to be because of inbreeding. And so the wildlife managers had to choose between taking some management action to introduce new genes in the hope that those genes will help fight the inbreeding-related problem.
Was it all females that were released, or is that just an assumption that I'm making for some reason?
So you're absolutely correct. There were 8 female Texas cougars released in South Florida. All of them were radio-collared and tracked over time.
Are any of them still in the wild?
Absolutely not. So the last, there were 2 females still alive in 2003, and they were captured and removed by the wildlife managers at that time. So basically, since 2003, there has been no Texas animals in South Florida at all.
Gotcha. And this was initially undertaken by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, correct?
That is correct. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission was the implementing agency, but other agencies such as the National Park Service, Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service were also involved.
And so the idea was to provide an opportunity to diversify the Florida population's gene pool, and that's what your study is all about, right?
That is correct. And by diversifying the gene pool, the hope was that it will reduce the inbreeding-related problem and will help the population to recover and increase again.
If you're just joining the show today, I'm talking with Dr. Madan Ali. He's a professor of wildlife ecology and conservation at the University of Florida. He's one of the authors of a new study on how the genetic diversity of Florida panthers has been impacted by the introduction of 8 female pumas, or cougars, from Texas in the mid-90s. If you'd like to make a comment about our conversation or this study, you can do so on social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So let's talk about this study. How did it come to you, and how was it conducted?
So how was it conducted? So it is the most comprehensive study of Florida panthers ever undertaken, and it included 2 complementary components. The first component, of course, is the field component that has been led all these years by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission biologists, and that involves things like capturing, radio coloring, radio tracking, DNA checks, genetic sampling, and things of that nature, things that people do in the field while tracking and studying individual animals. So all these years, it has been going on. That led to a massive amount of data being available. But again, the raw data by themselves do not tell you a whole lot. So our role was to bring that analysis and synthesis using mathematical, statistical methods to analyze the data so we can, from the raw numbers, we can estimate things like survival, population growth rate, reproductive rate, and also simulate the possible effects of alternative management scenarios. So to directly answer your question, my role, the role of University of Florida, is specifically on the research science part of things. And the field component, which is a very important component of the study, was handled and still is being handled by Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission biologists.
So it's kind of like big data science, basically, like what we think of as data science. You guys looked at all that data and crunched the numbers and came up with some conclusions or some hypothesis or somewhere in between those two.
That is correct, yeah.
And so what are some of the takeaways from the study that you found? It seems like this has been a success then, I guess would be the simplest way to put it.
Yes. So as you note, the big result was that the genetic rescue experiment that was implemented in 1995 was a success. We know that because a lot of health problems and fertility-related issues that were observed back then largely have disappeared from the population. The genetic diversity is now what is considered to be at a healthy level, and perhaps the most important observation is that the population increased from somewhere between 20 to 30 individuals back in the 1990s to a current population level of 120 to 230 individuals. So we know that it was a success.
Of the data points that have been collected by the FWC, do they take blood tests that then are genetically analyzed so you're able to trace back like a family tree of whether they've been, you know, whether they're part of the family line from these Texas cougars, or is that part of what you're doing?
Absolutely, yes. So that was a part of the study. So every single individual that was handled by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation biologists were genetically sampled and genetically analyzed. So we could tell which particular individual was pure Florida panther and which one had some Texas genes. And so that is how we were able to test the idea be able to tell the individuals or panthers with some Texas genes actually survived and reproduce better.
Hmm. How many generations down the road are we now from those 1995 panthers?
So it is about 5 panther generations. We estimated the panther generation mathematically to be about 4.5 years. And so, it has been about 5 generations. So we were thinking maybe the beneficial effect of the rescue experiment was kind of winding down. We are very happy to report that it is still going very strong.
So as far as recommendations go, do you make any recommendations with this study as far as how things should proceed, or is that more on the FWC side in terms of them looking at what you've concluded?
So that is absolutely correct. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission is the management agency responsible for the management of Florida panthers like other wildlife species here. So it is entirely a management decision. But what we do think is that the population is still small, and it is isolated from the rest of the North American puma populations, and there is absolutely no possibility of natural gene flow. So that also means that ultimately there will be the effect of inbreeding creeping in. And so we simulated the costs and benefits of alternative genetic management scenarios. So if it ever becomes necessary for the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission to consider another rescue experiment, then we provide some guidance with respect to that. But that is not to say that that is what they need to do. It is entirely their decision. So we provide science to guide the management-related things.
You know, even though the panther population has rebounded a lot since the mid-90s, it's still relatively small. But I know that panthers need large areas of land to live successfully. Do you or do biologists have any sense as to what an upper limit might be on the population if it was as successful as possible, given the amount of, you know, the lack of land that we have for panthers?
You are absolutely correct. So they do need a very large tract of land. So we did not specifically study the habitat requirements or the upper limit of the numbers that the current habitat can provide. But I think it is fair to say that the number any habitat can support depends not only on the quantity of the habitat that is available, but also quality of habitat that is available. So for Florida panthers, quality of habitat would have to reflect not only what they need, but also what their prey species would need. Mainly in South Florida, that would be white-tailed deer, feral hogs, and other mid-sized mammals. So, again, we do not know exactly how many panthers the current habitat is going to be able to support. That was not the focus of ours.
Were there any surprises that, you know, just personally, as you went through this data, things that you may have thought were going to go one way or the other, or did this, you know, kind of track the way you suspected it would when you set out on the data crunching?
And so there were a few surprises. One of them really was a pleasant surprise. As I noted earlier, we were expecting the beneficial effect of rescue experiment to kind of disappear by now, because the theory tells us that the genetic diversity declines rather rapidly in small population as the generations go by. That also means that potential of inbreeding remains and increases as the generations go by. So we expected things to be slightly worse than we saw. The second thing that also was a pleasant surprise was that in addition to the health-related issues, we expected survival in the recent years when the Florida panther population is now kind of at a reasonable level, survival probability of survival to be lower. But we found that survival right now is as strong as it was during the early part following the genetic experience.
Do you have any idea if there are any plans or even, you know, thinking about releasing more of these cougars at some point?
I do not. So it is entirely for the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission's decision. And as far as I know, there are no immediate plans. But again, so the potential for inbreeding remains in the population because the population is so small and isolated. So that may be an option, but that is, again, so not something that we University of Florida handles. So that is entirely up to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. But there are no immediate plans as of now to do that anytime soon.
All right, that's all the questions I have. Do you have any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
So a couple of points that I would like to make.
Sure.
One is that our study really gives us some hope for other endangered species that may be facing similar challenges. And virtually all small isolated populations, which is, you know, a large number of endangered species, they will at some point face the kind of challenges the Florida panther population faced. So our results very clearly show that if something like that ever happens to other wildlife populations, genetic rescue experiment may be a viable management option. And the second thing that I'll say is that knowledge is power. The more we know about the biology of a particular species, the better we are able to help them survive or persist for a longer period of time. So I shamelessly advocate for science and scientific studies and for management decisions to be backed up by science.
All right, that is all the time we have for this part of the show. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Madan Oli, is a professor of wildlife ecology and conservation at the University of Florida. He's one of the authors of a new study on how the genetic diversity of Florida panthers was affected by the introduction of 8 female pumas, or cougars, from Texas in the mid-90s. Dr. Oli, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Mike. Great to be with you.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we're going to talk with the creators of the new 3-part documentary series on PBS called Family Pictures USA, the first episode of which airs tonight at 9 on WGCU-TV. The episode featuring Southwest Florida airs tomorrow night at 9. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.